Welcome, everybody, to another episode of What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is the radio show designed to bring you insights into the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace trends shaping the workplace and the workforce and the marketplace around us. I find the guests that can talk about these trends and deliver them to you in such a way that hopefully you can take them and apply them to your own situation. Take them and apply them to your own workplace, workforce, or marketplace. One of the trends that I see when I click on the purchase button when I'm buying a plane ticket, and I fly primarily Delta, as well as I click on the purchase button when I'm sending a UPS package, is an opportunity to offset the carbon that will be created by the purchase, by the airplane that's going to fly me to wherever it may be, certainly Atlanta and then onward, and the same with the UPS package. And I've never really understood what that is and why I'd want to pay for that, why I'd want to make this more expensive, other than I'm just filthy with money and it's the right thing to do or something like that, and certainly not filthy with money. That certainly doesn't apply to me. What I'm realizing is that the property across our fair state of Alabama could be involved in that. Could be. And what it is that there are organizations out there that are paying property owners to grow trees, not to harvest trees, to grow trees, allowing these trees to create the oxygen that is the offset for the carbon created from the airplanes that are shipping my materials or flying me from place to place. How do I know this? Because I've spent a moment with Charles Taylor. He's a forester, and you'll meet him when we come back from break. And he's going to tell us a little bit about these carbon offset credits and things of that nature that you, perhaps, if you're a landowner or people out there, and we're not talking about your front yard. It's got to be a big piece of land. It's got to be something substantial with the appropriate type of trees planted on it. We're going to talk about what these things, how you can get paid, and perhaps maybe why you wouldn't want to get paid for not harvesting your trees. There are a lot of strings attached. Forestry is one of our state's largest enterprises. It's one of our state's largest industries. And people from all over the world, organizations from all over the world, come to the Deep South, Alabama being certainly a big part of it, to get access to the forests that are around here, whether it's investing in leaving the trees growing or purchasing the trees for harvest that will be converted into all sorts of things, whether it's framing for the home, to the diapers your babies may be wearing or your grandbabies may be wearing, all are from forestry products. Additionally, the industry, like so many others, is going through a shortage of new talent. We're going to learn that the people out there in the forestry business are aging, and we'll discuss this when we come back from break with Charles Taylor. Now, if carbon credits are something that is of interest to you and getting paid to leave your trees uncut, it's a very alternative, at least for me, way of earning a living. And I don't know that you would want to bank your retirement on something like this that is so alternative and new, at least in my world there. If you're instead looking for a retirement that's got a little bit more predictable investments in it, I'm going to suggest that you turn to the professionals at Sander for Wealth Management. They told me not long ago that it's becoming more and more common for people to be in retirement for more years than they actually worked, which means that the money you set aside during your working years needs to matter, needs to be very clearly thought out, because you could retire longer than you ever worked. If this is something that concerns you, give them a call. Sander for Wealth Management. Find them online. They have a place for you to ask them a question online. They'll follow up with you. I know these people. I can vouch for them personally. Sander for Wealth Management. Find them online. We'll be right back with Charles Taylor.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit SpringHillToyota.com today. It's just that easy.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer, now offering the purchase of the Stella Artois Chalice, a beautiful stemmed glass with the Stella logo. The purchase of each Stella Artois Chalice provides 5 years of clean water for someone in one of 13 developing countries around the world. Learn more at StellaArtois.com. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
A cool thing happened back in 64. That's when Keith Air Conditioning opened their doors.
In my family, turn to the experts is more than a tagline. It's a promise. Every Keith technician is an experienced AC professional, and that saves you money. Speaking of money, how about 0% financing for up to 60 months on installations of new Carrier systems? Keith and Carrier, turn to the experts.
Mobile's leading name in comfort since 1964.
License number 83731.
If you're a small business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. I'm State Farm agent Allison Horner, and I also run a small business in Mobile. I'm here to help protect your small business. Stop in and talk with me, Allison Horner, State Farm agent.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston in the studio with Charles Taylor. Let me tell you a little bit about his background, and we'll get into what I've brought him in here to talk about. Charles has a Bachelor of Science in Forestry from Auburn University, got out of forestry school, and obviously did what a forestry degree should do. He went into healthcare and then actually started Natural Resource Consultants, LLC, in 2008. NRC, Natural Resource Consultants, is a multifaceted company with forestry, civil, and disaster divisions. There's more to his bio. We'll get to it as we go through the conversation. Charles, thanks for your time. Welcome to What's Working, my man.
Glad to be here.
So tell me what drove you into forestry. Before we get into some of the specifics that we've talked about, what drove you into this occupation?
It started when I was a teenager. Our family has some timberland in Monroe County, and we actively grow timber there. So I was put in the woods at a young age and was really the only one that took any interest in it. So kind of felt an obligation when I was young to put my feet and hands into it and get a better understanding of it. So went to forestry school at Auburn snaked my way through healthcare to the forestry industry.
Yeah. Forestry is, now I know you're involved on the state level with the Forestry Association. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I'm a member of the Alabama Forestry Association. I serve on a board at Auburn for the forestry school there.
That's what you told me, yeah.
And a number of other different organizations, forestry related.
Give the listeners across the state a sense of the size of the forestry industry in the state of Alabama.
It's a massive industry. It's the second largest industry in Alabama. It drives so many different aspects. The paper industry, obviously the lumber industry, which has been in the news a lot lately with the skyrocketing lumber prices this past summer, and its tentacles go all over the place. A lot of things that forest products are pumped into, people aren't aware of, as far as even as diapers, medicines, things that use forest pulp. It's a massive industry.
It is a massive industry. It's one of the, I think, the cherished industries of our state. You and I talked about doing this show, and then I got this article, and I'm holding in my hands a printout of a Wall Street Journal article, and the headline reads, "Wall Street Firm Makes Wager on Carbon Offset Forests."
Yeah. So
there are big banks putting big money into buying land, timber, for the purpose of carbon credits, right? Not to harvest the trees, but to leave the trees. Now, this is new to me. My family also has some land up in Clark County. It's not multi-generational, but the thought of getting paid to not touch the trees is kind of interesting to me. Tell me more about that.
Sure. Yeah, it's actually been around for a good while. It has kicked back up in the news, and a few years back, this kind of made a wave through Alabama, and it didn't. It kind of croaked, to be honest with you. In Alabama, we grow trees primarily for timber production. So you run into some issues where the numbers have to make sense somewhat to people that are growing timber for production. Now, if you're not, if you're interested in wildlife or hunting or just enjoying the outdoors, it has huge upside. Basically, how it works is you're selling your right to harvest timber. It's usually over a 20-year period of time. So there are some strict guidelines that you have to follow. Some of it allows some timber harvest. They'll give you a percent of the annual growth rate of that forest that you can remove. A lot of them, you can't touch the forest whatsoever. You're selling carbon credits. So a carbon one offset or a carbon credit equals 1 ton of carbon dioxide emissions. So a lot of these big corporations that have extensive emission problems, you know, different factories, companies, you know, that large production facilities, they're looking to offset their pollution footprint. So they'll buy into these pools.
So they'll buy into it. And it doesn't mean, help me with this. It doesn't mean, let's take XYZ company. They're a manufacturer. They have huge carbon offsets because of their manufacturing capability. They're buying credits, but it doesn't mean they're reducing their emissions.
No.
They're simply asking for forgiveness. Yeah. Is that right?
They're just offsetting their activities. They're not changing necessarily any of their day-to-day. They're just trying to zero out what they're doing by placing money into a forest, could be hundreds of miles, thousands of miles away from them.
So when I go and I buy a ticket on Delta Airlines, I have the option of offsetting the carbon credits by clicking additional times, and I think it raises the price of my ticket in some way.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm just imagining going to my father now, who's kind of the primary guy who oversees the land that we have in Clark County, which we use as recreational land, and saying, Dad, I think there's an opportunity to get paid for just having the land. Is that feasible?
It is. You usually have to go through what's called an aggregator. A lot of these carbon exchange companies, they want a big block. They don't want 40 acres in central Alabama. So you've got to get tied in with one of these aggregators that will usually pool your land with similar lands in the area. The contractual obligations vary so widely as to what you can and can't do. And that's kind of where I think it got lost last time and where I'm hoping this time it's a little clearer. There was some ambiguity about what you could and couldn't do previously. In Alabama, that's tough. You know, we're such active forest managers with prescribed burning and things like that. And a lot of times that stuff isn't allowed. So it's a two-edged sword where you might be receiving some income, but you might be foregoing management activities that could actually be harming you more so than helping you.
Now, that's interesting. I know the value of a controlled burn on a piece of property, and these aggregators could say, yeah, we'll take it, but you can't even manage. You can't even maintain the property appropriately. We're not going to let you burn it. We're not going to let you do a controlled burn.
Yeah, let's say you've got you've got a 1,000-acre block that is foregoing timber operations for a carbon credit program. You have a massive wildfire due to not being able to actively manage that forest, and tons of CO2 emissions off of that wildfire. Not only have you destroyed your forest, you've pumped CO2 into the atmosphere, and you're left with nothing due to some regulations that you were trying to actually help something. So, not to dwell on the negative, but there are some aspects of it that can become negative when you're not actively managing a force.
So one more thing on this. This is really interesting to me. Let's take Delta Airlines, because I told you about the way I buy the tickets and have to click. Are they required to buy carbon offsets, or is this something they're choosing to do for shareholder love?
Most of the big corporations like Delta, some of the car manufacturers, energy producers are required to. When they lay out their annual plan, offsetting carbon is, especially under the previous Paris Accord that we were out of and in and
right,
out.
Right.
I think we're back in now.
Right.
That was one of the big objectives in it, was carbon offset. So whether it's through forest, or, and there's a host of other ways that they can do that. Forest has kind of come back and come into the limelight here recently, mainly it's just such a massive resource and bang for your buck as far as carbon offset. Tons, you know, the measured tons of CO2 that you can offset through a large footprint of land that's otherwise unproductive other than growing timber.
So they look at it through a satellite and say, we can see you have this many trees or these types of trees. And therefore, I assume there's an equation that says, based on the size of land and the type of trees being grown, pines, hardwoods, whatever, this is the carbon amount you're producing.
That's correct.
And therefore, we're going to compensate you this amount under these rules.
Yeah, usually it's... usually the factor that it's multiplied by is by the age. So you have a factor from a tree that's from planting age to 6 years old, 6 years old to 12 to 15 years old, 15 years old to 20. That factor goes up as the tree grows, obviously, because it has a bigger canopy, more, its ability to offset carbon grows as the tree grows in size. And then that's extrapolated into a per acre offset, and then multiplied by however large the acreage is. And that kind of goes for a landowner, how much they can get reimbursed for it. Typically, it's $50 to $150, $200 an acre on the high side that they can receive for taking part in one of these carbon offset pools.
What do you think about this? What do you as an individual, as a forester, think about it?
I like the idea of it. I like the idea of sustainability. I like the idea of reduction in pollution. I like that idea that the position that forestry takes in managing that. I think outside of any carbon offset programs, we're taking massive steps to do it just on our own accord, just through responsible forest management. Foresters, our job is to manage forests sustainably. We're planting more trees every year than we're cutting.
Yeah.
So I like it. I think it probably fits better in some areas outside of the timber belt where we live because we rely – companies from all over, international companies, are purchasing timberland in Alabama and Georgia because we grow the timber the best, the fastest. And that's kind of what we get somewhat tunnel vision on the forestry side of. That's what we're managing for.
Yeah.
If an individual comes to me and wants to participate in this, we're glad to help.
Yeah. When we come back from break, let's talk a little bit about the people in the business. You had told me during, as we prepared for this, that one of the challenges is finding talent, and that's a challenge everywhere. I'm curious what your thoughts are on that, and we'll get into that after the break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Lewis, General Manager of Roy Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationships since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business, same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.
Hi, I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing in downtown Mobile. We make drinkable, flavorful craft beer perfect for life on the Gulf Coast. So pick up one of our six packs before your next adventure or stop by our tap room for a relaxing afternoon with friends. Follow us on social media for the latest beer releases and events and ask for a Braided River at your favorite bars and restaurants. Thanks for your support. We look forward to sharing our beers with you.
This is Cam Marston, and I'm on the phone with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, I was told by many termite companies they're not going to touch a house with spray foam insulation. Then I found you, and you bond the homes that you treat. Tell me how you do this and what your treatment does to the termites.
Basically, I put together an extensive treatment program that allows us to treat homes and allows us to actually treat spray foam with a product, that will absorb into the spray foam and protect it from termites harboring in the area or starting an above ground colony. We also, like I say, with our extensive treatment, we put it together and we're able to bond houses and just simply by the way we treat it.
It's hard to find a termite company that'll touch a house with spray foam. I know I use you and love it. Tell people how they can find you, Cajun Mike.
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pests.com. I'm in the studio today with Charles Taylor. Let me pick up a little bit on his bio. Partnered in 2017 with John Goodlow to form Rural Land Specialists, LLC. It's a real estate brokerage specializing in rural land transactions, specifically southeastern timberlands. Charles, before the break, we were talking about the people in the business. There is a dire need for new talent. You had told me in an email that the average age of a forester today is what?
The average age of a logger.
Logger.
Is 54 years old.
Okay.
And it tends to err on the higher side of that. My main foreman for my forestry business is 64, and he's threatened to retire on me at least three times that he's worked for me for 10 years now. So I'm desperately trying to hang on to him. But yeah, it's a problem in this industry, just an aging workforce.
How are you recruiting new people in it? Is the Auburn Forestry School pumping out people? But my suspicion is the people they're pumping out are not the loggers.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, the forestry workforce, as far as professional foresters with registered foresters, which is a credential through the state of Alabama, we're producing a lot of those now. It's just when it gets down to the woods workforce, it's very difficult now to hire, train, and then retain skilled workers. Even if they're unskilled and you're able to train them, it's very difficult to locate people these days who want to work in a field where it is difficult. It is early mornings. It is hard work, but it's very rewarding. It can be a very by the time that you get out of the industry, it can be a very rewarding career for your family. But it is hard work. It's just difficult. We've trained a lot of people in the last 2 years, and I think probably out of 10 that we've trained, I think one or two we have that have made it past about 16 months.
Tell me about your training. What does that include?
My forestry business has a couple different facets. We have a side that primarily just deals with road building and bridge building and woods infrastructure, not building bridges out on the highway, but
right.
Interior woods infrastructure where we've got to get on the back end of 1,000 acres where there's no roads. So we put one in or build one that's been abandoned. So we'll bring guys in on that front usually to train on even something as simple as a tractor, just moving brush around, grading. They'll work alongside one of my operators that is skilled in operating numerous machines. So we'll work through it with them to learn the ins and outs of that, even how to maintain the machine, changing oil, just day-to-day, what they do on a day-to-day basis. And man, that seems a lot of the times where we lose them. It's hard to find a young workforce that wants to be at work at five and sometimes work on the weekends and kind of go through the grunt stage of the job, which I did when I started the business. This business, it was me and a old pickup and a dozer that I bought with borrowed money, scraping anything that anybody'd pay me to do. So, you know, it's you get some negative pushback from, hey, I don't want to do this. I want to go do that. And but, you know, you have to start. And that's echoing that to them, but making them feel valued is where I try and step in and incentivize length of stay, you know, work them up as fast as we possibly can, especially if they're doing well on the machinery side of things.
So they come in. I think you told me a moment ago that for every 10 you've hired, you've retained one. Is that correct?
One or two in the last. And it's usually that they just don't show back up.
So they don't come to you and say, I've got an offer from your competitor and I'm taking off. They just say, this business is not for me. Yeah. I'm going to go find another job.
Right.
Another competitive job, but something different.
Yeah, something different.
Yeah.
This doesn't fit me for whatever reason. The one or two that we've retained are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're people that I would trust to be here for the long haul and have significant growth opportunity. But it's tough to weed. And one out of 10 is probably the case across the board.
So when I'm driving down the road, again, the property that my father and his buddy bought years ago is in Clark County, and we see these logging trucks coming by, and they're full of logs. Tell me who's driving that truck. Is that the guy you're looking for?
That is one of the biggest holes to fill in the logging industry, and it's what's bringing the logging industry down now is the trucking. Those are guys that is your oldest worker, usually on the job, is a logging truck driver. They are falling out of the industry by the day. It's very difficult now with supply chain issues across the United States that someone would rather just go, if they are a trucker, they'd rather just go drive an over-the-road truck on the asphalt, not get beat to death all day on a dirt road, depreciating their truck. And there's a bidding wars for guys to drive over-the-road shipping containers right now. So that's something we're really going up against with trucking workforce.
Does that guy own his truck?
It depends. I have a handful of logging contractors that work for me at any given time. So they will be harvesting a block of timber for me, and they might have three or four of their own company trucks. And then they might have one or two trucks working for that crew that's contracted, where those guys own their trucks. The ones that belong to the logging company, they own and they hire the truck driver.
Right.
Those guys are usually very loyal, those truck drivers. I mean, they're older, like I said. A lot of times they were loggers that transitioned into the driving aspect once they didn't, their bodies couldn't take working on the equipment or whatnot anymore. But they're falling out, and the insurance regulations now are so tight. A lot of trucks that are designated as log trucks that might be older trucks or the insurance companies have basically just put a halt to it. And it's left a big hole in the ability to move wood product. Something's going to have to be done at a state or a federal level to help with some insurance adjustments or else. I mean, we've had two logging crews just go out of business in the last 2 years due to insurance. They just couldn't afford to pay it anymore.
Yeah, that seems like that's a difficult problem. It would require a state or a federal involvement, is what you've said.
Yeah, it's going to, if something doesn't change on the insurance front, we're going to have a critical problem, particularly in the hauling side of timber production. Without incentivizing through workforce training for drivers and through insurance, some type of adjustments in the available insurance for trucking insurance, it's the biggest obstacle I see in logging in Alabama.
Who is successful right now? Give me the profile of the individual who is successful on your crew. What is his or her background? What did they do to get into this? What is what special talents do they have?
Sure. The most successful operators these days usually are family operations. It's a father who has a brother or two sons or a son and a cousin, where they can really keep labor in house. It's if you can keep and they're trained young. I mean, some of these kids were running skidders and whatnot at 10, 11 years old, and it's ingrained in what they do. It's tough to take that mindset from someone that's not born into that industry and putting them in it. It's a shock to the system. I sometimes say it for folks that watch like Deadliest Catch on the crab boats, you see all these greenhorns, that's is what right. they call it, yeah. putting them on the boat. And they, my one out of 10 stat is probably about the same for them. They're thrust into something that is tough at first, and they can get frustrated because these guys that surround them know everything, and it can be intimidating. I mean, you're working on you're operating a piece of equipment that of $500,000 to $750,000, and you know, going through the process to understand that. It's tough. So to answer your question, the best operators usually are some type of family run operation. And it's logging is a production game. If you can maintain high production, which in my opinion, to maintain high production, you need to be running newer or new trucks. With an experienced workforce, then you're making money. And if you're not, if you're spending half your time fixing equipment in the woods, you're killing your production. And so that's easy to say. That's an expensive proposition to be running new equipment, new trucks. And that's a mountain that a lot of folks that we want to enter the workforce see, and it's tough to overcome.
Do you have any predictions on what's going to happen? You've got a lack of workforce. You got aging drivers. You've got these insurance rules or costs that are coming up. What does your crystal ball say?
You know, we're going to continue to grow timber in Alabama. That's not going away. But we've got to refocus how we train some of our kids. I'm a staunch supporter of getting this going in the middle to high school levels in Alabama.
What is this?
Training, awareness, workforce awareness. You know, I mean, we should be trained, especially in rural communities where timber is the lifeblood of that community. We should be introducing apprentice programs. We should be introducing awareness programs where instead of them talking to a college counselor every day, maybe have me come in and speak to them about the benefits of the logging industry, the forestry industry, the heavy equipment industry. You know, internship programs at my shop where they learn how to change equipment oil, learn how to operate. We should be taking a heavier stance in picking up this younger generation, you know, for the industries that drive this state. It's important.
Let's pick that up when we come back from break. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston in the studio with Charles Taylor. He's a forester background from Auburn University, a Bachelor of Science in Forestry from Auburn, and runs his own show today, the Natural Resource Consultants, LLC. We'll be right back.
At Roy Lewis Construction, we're in the business of adding value. Whether it's working with you to meet your unique business needs or making investments in our community in lasting ways, providing unparalleled value and quality in every commercial construction project. When planning your next commercial project, reach out to Roy Lewis Construction. We'll pair you with a designer that best suits your project needs and work with that designer to balance the best architectural outcome with the best budget outcome. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com, building legacies one relationship at a time.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit SpringHillToyota.com today. It's just that easy.
Think about how people really see you. The kid at the drive-thru just sees a coffee drinker.
Please pull forward.
Your local barista sees the person who loves a smiley face in their latte.
See you next time.
It's kind of the same way with insurance. Other insurance companies just see a customer, but a State Farm agent sees more. They see you as a neighbor. Your State Farm agent is here to get to know who you really are so they can help life go right.
Call me, State Farm agent Allison Horner, in Mobile at 666-1616.
I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing. We want beer that goes along no matter where the adventure takes us and that doesn't make us choose between great beer and drinkability. We're drawn to the Delta and united by beer because to us, the best way to celebrate the Delta is to slow down and savor the moments and the beer together. Come visit our tap room in downtown Mobile and ask for us at your favorite bar or restaurant. Visit online at BraidedRiverBrewing.com.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston in the studio today. Charles Taylor is my guest. We've talked about his professional background. You also are a registered forester and a prescribed burn manager in the state of Alabama. Also holds a real estate license. Married to Ashley, daughters Adele and Lily. Prior to the break, we were talking about your strong belief that our society's current push that kids need to go to college is perhaps misguided. You remind me of Mike Rowe, who's always telling people that the trades are really a lucrative place to spend their life, that there's a lot of opportunity there. Go on, if you will, a little bit about what you see out there and the way you'd like to get the attention of the next generation about other things besides college. You know, logging is a career.
Sure, yeah. We touched on a little bit of involvement in schools, awareness in schools about, and it doesn't have to just be the logging industry, any trade industry, farming, logging, mechanic, anything. It's a rewarding job. My main foreman, he's 67, I think, 66, 67 years old. He's been doing this his whole life. Extremely successful, has built a legacy for his son, who now is stepping into his role somewhat underneath my company. He's a centerpiece of his community for supporting organization. It's just something that if you just don't feel like your talent is going to school and learning to be an accountant or learning to be a lawyer or a doctor, there's nothing wrong with that. There's pride in getting up early and going in and operating $1 million operation successfully. That is something to be proud of, and I don't feel it feels like we have beat that down somewhat in this country.
I kind of agree with you. Keep going, but I kind of agree with you.
I'm obviously pro college. I have a college degree, and for some people, I mean, we have to have people that operate organizations, and maybe that requires a college degree and a higher level. But man, the guys that don't who drive what I have going, I put all the credit on their back. I keep the pieces moving, but ultimately they're who pick everything up every day, who keep it moving. And that's important, and we should make them feel important for what they're doing. And to preach that importance to kids who might feel on the periphery with college, we need to keep their interests piqued that, hey, I can go do something and be very successful. I can support a family. I can build a legacy that that I'm proud of through using my hands or using equipment or whatever. Logging is one thing. That's where my focus is. But my interest in this topic spans across a lot of trades.
We had a guest in here over the summer, I guess it was, and he was talking about what we titled the show was the boy crisis, the challenge that boys are facing in school, the lack of academic performance that is really, really evident in boys these days.
Yeah.
The girls are excelling across academics, and the boys in general are struggling. There are exceptions to the rule, but the idea of the show came to me when I watched the award ceremony for my daughter's high school class, and there's like 15 girls won awards and one guy.
Right.
And what we're seeing, I've really followed this boy crisis thing. What we're seeing is a lot of these young men can't find a toehold on society. They go to college or they don't go to college. Either way, it's not a fulfilling experience. Most of the females that I know who are in college are going to graduate on time, if not early. Most of the males that I know are going to graduate, if at all, late. They're on the 5-6 year plan.
Yeah.
The point being, I think there's a huge opportunity. However, there is the stigma that our society has unfairly put on people that work with their hands out in the heat or something like that. How do we remove that stigma so that so many of these boys across the nation, particularly the state of Alabama, which is where our focus is, may see an opportunity? What would your message to them be to say, there's great opportunity here? Is it numbers related? Let's look at the salary you can earn. Let's look at the respect. How would you articulate that to a young man who's sitting in front of you right now, 25 years old, and doesn't know what to do?
Yeah. It can be salary. It's a very, you know, logging in particular is a very rewarding career if you stick with it. But my advice to them and my message to them would be, you know, there's all types of communication across the board now to incentivize people to go to college. Scholarships, aid, commercials every day about success of graduating or getting accepted. Let's flip that on its head for trade. Let's incentivize kids to look into a trade. Let's take them to the largest trade operator in town, whether that's logging or not. Don't take them and let them get beat up by the greenhorn talking bad, but find somebody who's built a career, built something positive that supports the community that they're in. Let them talk to them about it. Let them come into the schools. You know, there is some trade instruction, especially in the public school system these days, but really about building something. Logging is something that if you start, you can really build your way up to an operator and operate your own crew. And that, you know, whether that's farming, logging, whatever, communicating that is where we're lacking. I think it's cool. People see pictures of logging equipment. And logging, too, has a stigma. A lot of people think logging is a chainsaw and, you know, they see it as the number one or number two most dangerous job in the United States on just about every list that comes out every year. And it is a dangerous job, but it is so mechanized now compared to what it was 20 years ago. I mean, you're sitting most of the time in an air-conditioned cab with computer screens and joysticks and an air ride seat that takes a lot of skill to operate. And that's cool. I mean, kids these days love to sit down in front of a TV.
I was about to say, it sounds like a real live video game.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much is. You're sitting there with two joysticks and operating something that's a pretty cool piece of equipment. But we need that out there. We need to let them come sit in a piece of equipment. Let me bring it to a school and let them sit up in the cab. You know, things like that are what really pique these young kids' interest, as opposed to sweating in the Alabama heat, thinking that's the beginning and ending of it.
And I think that's part of the stereotype. It's hot. The bugs, when you get out there, are giant. They're as big as sparrows,
right,
and they're going to suck your blood. But I think the sexiness of sitting in that cab and looking at the computer screens. I watched this thing on Netflix or Prime or something. This guy's driving a Lamborghini tractor, which I didn't know they make. But the technology in this thing is remarkable of what these tractors are able to do. Now, he's a farmer, and he's in England. He's a farmer in England. But the sophistication of this equipment. In other words, it's not you in a train and a chainsaw walking through the woods cutting down trees. That has not been the case in a long, long while, has it?
No, it hasn't.
Yeah.
To that point, insurance won't even... They don't. If they show up, they don't want to see anybody on the ground with a chainsaw in their hand.
Really?
Period. So it's. Don't get me wrong. There are some applications where you have to use a chainsaw, but for production timber harvesting in Alabama, it's a mechanized operation.
Yeah, and this is not a job that will be offshored. In other words, we're not going to buy trees from China. They're going to continue to come from our backyard here in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, correct.
And the future of the industry is only more of the same.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. We've got alternative products to build houses and build this and plastics and whatnot. The standard will always be Southern yellow pine.
Southern yellow pine. So the argument includes a really sexy, cool piece of technology that you're going to run, young man, in a business that is not going to be offshored. In other words, this is a long-term career for you, and you can go as far with it as you want. And with time, develop some seniority and perhaps lead a crew of your own. I mean, it seems like a pretty sexy argument, but it's not being made out there, is it?
No, it's not. But that's my job and Forrester's job and industry leaders' job and these mill producers. And, we've got to do a better job of explaining that, injecting ourselves into the process. If the process isn't coming to us, then we need to do a better job of putting ourselves in it.
I'm curious if at Auburn they're recognizing this as a challenge. And though they teach forestry, do they feel the obligation to help you find people?
Yeah. They have taken a stance in trying to – they have created something called the Alabama Workforce Training Center, where Caterpillar is involved providing new logging equipment where we can bring in aspiring loggers. It's, I believe, a two-month process where they go and actually train on real equipment.
Wow.
Learn real logging operations. It's an awesome program.
Yeah.
It's something where people are getting their hands on it without the pressure of, hey, man, you're new. Go out there and operate it or you're going to kill our production if you screw something up.
Right.
They're learning and they understand that. And that takes a lot of the nervousness out of it. So that's an awesome program that Auburn is involved with.
If somebody across the state has heard what you said and wants you to come and speak to their students, whatever it may be, how do they find you?
Just call me. You can call me. My number is 251-622-0091. Website is nrcforestry.com. Emails and all that are on there. So it's probably easiest just to go through there and be glad to help communicate to class, anyone really, to just talk about forestry in the state and the benefits of it.
Charles Taylor runs Natural Resource Consultants. NRCForestry.com is where you can find him, an advocate for one of the state's primary industries and looking to the future of it as well. Charles, thank you for your time.
Thanks. Enjoyed it.
We'll be back after this with final comments. You're listening to What's Working. This is Cam Marston. The Keith family has provided service to my heating and cooling system since my family and I moved into our home 12 years ago. And today, Keith Air Conditioning offers 0% financing for up to 60 months on new installations, making a new heating or cooling system for your home even easier to come by. Give them a call or find them online and let them come work their magic. Keith and Carrier. Turn to the experts.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer. Stella Artois is a perfect beer for celebration. Nothing caps off a big sale, hitting your incentive goals, or a profitable quarter like a round of Stella's Brewed first in 1708 as a special Christmas brew, today Stella is a gift for everyone to enjoy year-round. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
This is Cam Marston with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, houses on pilings can have termites eat their way up inside the piling and enter the house. The homeowner never knows about it, but your company offers protection. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Cam. What we have designed is a program, and what we do is we will actually drill to the center of the piling and put a product in the center that will stop the termites from coming up into the home.
Stucco exteriors as well?
Correct.
How can people find you, Cajun Mike?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. I'm State Farm Agent Allison Horner, and that's why I'm right here in Mobile to help you select the right protection at the right price. I'll make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. With me as your State Farm agent, it's easy to make the right choice. You can come by, call, or click AllisonHorner.com. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, this is T. Bruce McKinnon. I'm the president and CEO of Elevator World and Bay Business News. And when I'm not traveling the world looking over elevators or trying to find news for the local business community, I'm listening to What's Working with Cam Marston. Now back to the show.
There are a lot of reasons to be proud at what opportunities people find in the state of Alabama. For example, the forestry profession, the forestry industry. And there are two things that come to mind as I mention that. Number one is the advanced attitude our foresters take towards forestry. I mean, they're cutting edge in a industry that is fairly old. And one of the reasons is the resources that they have access to, whether it be the wonderful school at Auburn and the others around the state, or the ample amount of forests, rather, around our state to try things on, to sample them on. And the second thing that makes me proud about them is their willingness and their interests, just like we heard from Charles, of finding the next generation and explaining to them the opportunities that a career in forestry would do. There are other people in many industries out there that complain about the lack of the next generation wanting to take on that job or that profession or that trade. But there aren't many that complain that are willing also to follow it up with, let me help, let me get involved, let me come speak at your school, let me show you what we can do. There aren't many that have access to equipment companies that make some pretty significant and sophisticated machines that allow the next generation to come sit on it and play with it because they realize the importance of attracting them to the industry. Makes me proud. I wish Charles the best of luck in his endeavors, and I hope he finds the next generation out there eager to get involved. And if you are that next generation, check it out, man. These forests aren't going anywhere, and they're going to continue to be replenished once they're cut. That's the nature of the gig. It's a renewable resource, and it's a career's worth of employment. Let's wrap it up. John Thompson is the show's producer. Find him at eyeondigital.com, eyeondigital.com. Find us on social media. You can find us in the Twitters and the LinkedIns and the Facebooks and the Instas and the whatever. You know the gig. Find us, like us, follow us. You'll see upcoming shows. You'll get my requests for introductions to guests. And hey, don't hesitate to reach out personally. Cam, C-A-M, at cammarston.com. From time to time, we get introductions to guests that just come from out of the blue, from people like you that are listening and want those to continue. All right, that wraps us up. Have a good week, everybody. Another show coming next week.